Trees creak a lot, John. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. We thank you for being here and worshiping with us this morning, and we are excited that you guys are here with us. We have a lot of things to kind of chat about this morning with some different things, but there is nothing more important for us to do this morning than to gather together and worship. So let's open up with a word of prayer, and we'll begin worshiping together. And we'll do that right now. So, Father God, thank you so much for this great day that you've given to us. And thank you for the love that you continue to pour out into our lives. And sometimes we are just cracked, leaky old pots. And your love leaks through us out and waters the world around us. So, Lord, this morning I just ask that you would fill us up to overflowing. And I pray that we would be used by you to reach a lost world with the gospel. That you love them and that you care for them in such an incredible way that there is nothing that they have done that could separate them from you if they turn to you by faith, Lord Jesus, and surrender their life to you. And you will receive them and you will clean them up from the inside out and you will make them into an incredible, incredible example of your love and grace. So, Lord, we thank you and we love you, and it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we worship together this morning.
I want to see you.
amazing things about the world in which we live in is it's a pretty dark place. And the only way that the world will see and know Jesus is if they see him in and through our lives. And so as we sing, "Open the Eyes of My Heart, We Want to See You," we're just asking God to open up our lives a little more and a little more so that he can shine brightly through us to a lost world. And if we do our part and we let him do his, the whole world will turn to him and be saved. Song and we can praise him is because he has loved us and he has opened the door to us and invited us to be part of his family. And we have that great privilege to come before him and worship today. And as we do, one of the beautiful things is that he has said where two or three are gathered in his name, that he is there with them. And we can do that here, we can do that at home with family while we're watching online, and God will do some amazing things because he's the one that brings us together and he's the one we worship this morning.
As we come into your presence, we remember and
Father God, we do thank you that we are changed because of your love and because of who you are. And right now, there's so many people confused about what they think is going to change the world. There's so many people fighting over what they believe is right, true, and noble. And Lord, the only thing that ever will bring us back together and to bring us together under one umbrella is you, Lord Jesus. You and your love sacrificed for us on a cross that joins us together as family, no matter who we are or where we're from. And we just ask that today would be a day where we recognize you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that before you, all of our hearts and our lives would bow, and we would give you the glory and the praise forever. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Anybody? Check, check one, check two. Slide to slider. Do, 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 do. Good morning, folks. We are here. The one we didn't check, John. Check one. Check two. Check three. There's one lighting up back there. Unmute it. Slide to slider up. Check. Hey, there we go. Cool. Sorry, it was on my end. It's going to be one of those deals for the day. Well, hey, this morning as we come together and worship, and now that that goes out live on Facebook, and everybody knows how silly I look on Sunday mornings, some things that we do need to pray for and be in prayer about today are the following. We need to be praying for Brad Wilson and his continued recovery after heart surgery and some setbacks. John Matthews, as he has had a surgery on his foot. The family of Carol Hooper, who passed away, and the funeral was this week. We have many others who are sick and many who are afraid of getting sick. And we have a crazy nation that we live in that seems to be pulling at the threads and unraveling itself before our very eyes. But one that is probably near and conflicting to all of our hearts is I got a text message from Janelle this morning, and she said, please pray like right now. As you know, Harlan has been going downhill since last fall, and things have been progressing, getting worse. Then this morning, I got a feeling that he's going to end up having a really, really, really great Sunday with Jesus. And we just ask that we pray that Jesus takes him home to be with him forever. And so let's go before the Lord this morning. Father God, I thank you for this day that you've given to us and that you've made special for us. We thank you for the beautiful weather and the flowers and the breeze. We thank you for all the things that we enjoy. But right now, there's a lot of things going on in us and around us that we don't enjoy, and it's difficult. And we just ask that you'd come alongside us, Lord, and that you would help us walk the path that is in front of us. Through a time and uncertain times in our nation and around the world, we just ask that you would bring peace that only you can bring. Lord, that you would unite us together in your presence forever, and that you would do an amazing work in our lives as we surrender ourselves to you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And also, Lord, we ask that you'd be with those who need a special touch from you for some healing, for Brad Wilson, for John Matthews, for Janet Hockman's friends and family who have had kidney transplants. Be with Connie White's son and his wife as they swapped kidneys out. And we just ask that you'd be with all those who are sick and ailing and need help. But also right now, we ask that you would do something very special in the life of a good man, a great guy, a loving father and husband who has done the best he could for a lot of years. And his body has said, I quit. And we ask that you would do a great work in his life today and take him home. That he would be where his heart has been for a very, very long time. That he would be where his hope and trust has been placed by faith for a very long time. And that's in you, Lord Jesus. And as you receive home your servant, would you just give him a great big hug and tell him, great job, welcome home. And for the rest of us who stay behind and linger, Lord, I just ask that you would be with those who grieve and hurt and mourn their loss, but also bring about rejoicing that their friend, their father, their companion, the example that we have all known as Harlan Bruner, has received his great reward. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I don't know if you guys have ever had someone look at you funny and ask you the simple question, how can you act like that? Anybody? Is that ever, is it just me? I mean, you're a pastor. How can you act like that? You're a Christian. How do you do that? I married you, and I didn't think you were like that, right? You get those questions, then that look, that how can you act like that? I thought you were better than that look. And one thing that I've known is that over the last 26 years, it's been great. This past week, we Deanne and I celebrated 26 years lapping the sun together. We've had a great and, as one individual put it when we were getting married and going through premarital counseling, if you two get married, there will be passionate, lively discussion because we are so alike. It's just like two hammers hitting together, and I've got the evidence of what happens when you have two hammers hitting together. Chunks of steel fly off and chip away because I've got one inside my left leg. where I did that stupidly. I bashed a hammer and a hatchet together, and a chunk of metal flew off, and it stuck in my leg between the two bones, and you could see it on an x-ray. But you chip away, and you mold, and you remodel over the course of time, and it's pretty crazy. And it's been a pretty crazy week, because on Monday of last week, Hannah and Jonathan celebrated one whole year together. And they're like, "Oh, we made it a year." And I'm like, "Woo. Keep going, you'll catch up, you know." And Hannah sent me a text message. She said, "After completing my first year of marriage, I now have a whole new perspective and respect for you and Mom for making it 26 years and not killing each other." It was great. And I was so excited about that. We've all survived and no one's gotten hurt too badly. But the great thing is we've kept going, and those things that we do that get that look like, "What are you doing? And why do you do that?" We try to do that less and less. But those of us who have found that perfect someone to hitch our hearts and lives to have all learned something that only time and experience can teach. And that once the shine of love wears off, you realize that nobody is really perfect. Them or you. Preachers and preachers' kids aren't perfect. And marrying a preacher won't make you perfect and holy. Deanne found that out the hard way. And in fact, chances are, following Christ and being around Christians will bring out the worst in you. At least it'll reveal the worst in you. Because before it was just normal, but the longer you walk with Christ, you find out how incredible his grace and mercy and love is to save sinful people like us. You see, when I became a Christian, all of this garbage started boiling and popping up and coming up out of the swamp of my life. Garbage and junk and oddities floated to the surface that were just normal before. And now you look at them through a different lens and you see this trash island the size of Texas floating around in your life. And you're going, "Am I ever going to get this mess cleaned up?" And when you get married, for some reason, that seems to unlock a whole new category of things that cause even perfect people to lose some of their shine. And you have to ask, why is that? What causes that to happen? What causes us to fall apart so quickly? And how is it possible that these things all seem to change and become such terrible things? And I think I found the answer this past week. I was reviewing some scripture I'd memorized 35 years ago and trying to recoup some of that. But I saw something that I knew was there, but didn't know how to explain it. So I just went back to what God said about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 12. It says this: "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." Look at those last seven words. "But life is at work in you." Say that with me. "But life is at work in you." Let's pray real quick. Jesus, thank you so much that there seems to be this battle of life and death within us. Death seems to be alive and well in many areas, but life has been placed in us by your hand, not just physical, but spiritual life. And the battle rages, and you have said that life is at work in us. You will complete the task you have started, and you will make us holy. So, Lord, it's going to be a bumpy and exciting and passionate ride. Help us to become like you in every way, whatever it takes, however long it takes, so that the whole world might see you working in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. How is it possible that Christians can still act like jerks? How is it possible that we can sin? How is it possible that sometimes we don't look any different than anybody else in the world? It's because out of the world he drug us, and out of the world he's redeeming us, he's reclaiming us, and he's trying to reform us into his image. But the reason that we can act like jerks, sin, and not look much different in the world is we've had a lot of practice being just like the world. Tons of it. And I don't know about you guys, but some of us were really proficient at being sinners. Anybody with me? We got a couple that are brave enough to raise their hands. How many, well, I won't ask how many of you are still practicing a lot of that, but here's the thing. We all have had a lot of practice. I didn't become a Christian until I was 16. I had a lot of practice beforehand because I was totally devoid of Christ and any knowledge of God before then. But when I came to know him, I realized, you know, I can't say and do all the stuff that's fun that my family does because, well, the Bible says it's sin. And so God's been working on me for 35 years, just kind of rolling things over, trying to say, all right, we're going to get you through this one of these days. We're going to drag you down the road long enough that you're going to knock that off. And, you know, here's the thing, that some of us have perfected our craft for a lot of years before we became Christians, but it all started with this old thing. Do you remember when you were younger and someone said, you just need to ask Jesus into your heart? I hate that saying. I do. I don't like it. Oh, you just need to ask Jesus into your heart. I've never liked it. There's just always something felt wrong about that. Because asking him into your heart is a good start. It's the point of salvation. But he didn't die just to save your heart. He died to redeem our entire and total life. It starts with the heart, but it grows from there. And it should be showing up in other parts of our bodies and our lives. Maybe it should show up in our mouths a little more. So we're building up and praising and loving and encouraging a lot more than we do. Because we seem to be doing great jobs tearing down and destroying. Maybe it should show up in how we think and how we act and how we give and how we love and how we serve. Because it's not just about getting us into heaven. That is his ultimate goal. But he's also saying, I want to perfect you and make you holy. But, you know, I started thinking about my dislike of that terminology, asking Jesus into your heart. It should be like asking Jesus to take over your life. But in this passage, he said, that's exactly what it is. And I'm like, Jesus, I don't like that when you tell me I'm wrong and you're right. And he goes, that's okay, get used to it. Because he uses that beautiful picture. He says, for God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, our dark, wretched lives before him, has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. You know, when we lived in Syracuse, it was interesting. There's a town south of us called North Webster. And in North Webster, they have an establishment that I'm sure none of you have frequented. And I can say I haven't frequented ever. Whew. That's one that I've got checked off on a list that I can say, yeah, I didn't do good. And lots of others in the other column. But nonetheless, but this place where gentlemen go, I don't know why they say that, but to hang out. Remember Blockbuster movie theater, movie rental places? And you remember at night they had those three lights on the top of their building and they were doing this? And they were at night, you could see these lights above there, and it was like a Hollywood release. Some Blockbuster closed up, and they bought one, and they stuck it on top of their establishment. And even though we were 12 miles away, under certain conditions, at night, you would see this bat signal going up, like this light shining in the distance going, what is that? And then you'd remember, oh, that's that place. And you'd say a little prayer for the people there and you'd move on. Why is it the world's so good at showing off who they are and what they're doing? And we unfortunately look more like a lightning bug in mid-July. We go through the world, beep, 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 with little glimmers and little flickers of who we are, instead of shining brightly everywhere we go. That is one of the things that's really difficult, but he says, I put my light in the center of your heart, in the middle of your darkness, and from there I will grow and transform you from the inside out. I'm going to let my light shine out of your darkness so that everyone will begin to gain a knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But most importantly, that you will have that knowledge. And some of us have started our journeys a bit more evil than the rest of you did, with sin so dark and evil that would cause you to walk across to the other side of the street. And it's into that darkness that the gospel takes root and light begins to shine and grow brighter. And I like to think that what it does is it starts to consume the sin and burning it up like a campfire. And it gets brighter and bolder and should be growing in intensity. And it begins to transform us from lost people to saved people, from saved people all the way through to sanctified people, set apart for Him and His glory, to the point where we look just like Jesus and we burn bright, white, hot. You see, here's one of the things that all of us are being forced to face today. It doesn't matter how good we are. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what we've done. Unless Jesus comes back, we don't get out of here alive. And someday, some way, someone's going to sit around and have you propped up here, and people are going to walk by and say, oh, they were a good person. Yeah, remember that time we went and did this? Yeah. Or are they going to be saying, that person loved Jesus, and because of them, I know Him today. I know Him better today. See, nobody gets out of here alive, and none of us can stay the same once we've met Jesus. And you know what? Here's the great thing. Nobody gets fully dressed for heaven until Jesus says so. We don't get our robe of white from Him until He hands it to us. But since God's got to start somewhere, into our dead black hearts, He jumps with both feet. He's not afraid to go into a fixer-upper and take up residence and live there while He's working on it. His light shines and reveals what's in us, and it burns brightly to kind of just destroy everything that's there until it's made new. He sweeps out every corner into a pile and He burns that off. He begins to look and inspect every corner, every crevice of your life. And it's okay because He knows what's supposed to be there and what's not supposed to be there. And the more time that we spend in the Word of God and with God, the more we will see who He is and who we are. So this should inspire us to make the necessary changes He wants to make and renovate our lives. Some people, the change is fast and constant, and others, not so much. But you want to know something amazing? Whether it's Billy Graham or Mother Teresa or Vince Wilczynski or you, the amazing thing is we all start out at the exact same spot. At the foot of the cross, and for a lack of better terms, asking Jesus to come into our hearts. Letting him come in and remodeling and remolding our lives into something great. Verse 7 says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." You know, who you are as a Christian and what you've accomplished as a Christian and how people look at you as a Christian isn't because you're a good person. It's just because Jesus has been working in your life and continues to do so. And he wants to make you better than you've ever dreamt you could be. And, you know, that whole verse harkens back to when God created us from the dust of the earth. He designed and fashioned mankind bit by bit and breathed life into us. We're not an evolutionary byproduct. We are God's greatest creation. And throughout Scripture, we are reminded of that and challenged to remember that God formed us in greatness. We all started out the same way at the very beginning and at creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27, God said, "Let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let him rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock and over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along in the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. You know what's beautiful about that passage is it says that God took and created all of mankind and all of our uniqueness and complexity, and he said, "No, I don't see anything. It's kind of weird. I'm going to step on some things here. I don't see anything about black, white, red, yellow, albino, whatever. I don't see that there. What I do see is one thing he put in there." He said, he created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. He pointed that out. And that's what I believe. He started at the beginning. He created and fashioned us. And that was the distinction. We would be created in his image and created male and female to go and make more of us. We could talk about that some other time. But that distinction of that greatness and incredible build that he did that day, making mankind in his image, is such an important thing. But he reminds us from time to time, even right after the fall, he says, "Lord God formed from the man the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed." And everything was going so good. And then unfortunately, God had designed it and created Adam and Eve and said they were perfect. He breathed life into them. And then sin entered into that perfect creation and took a deep and bitter root in them at that time. And they passed it on to each and every generation after that. That earthen treasure of God became a sin-collecting trash can, and every person after them seemed to be gathering up more and more sin and creating new ways to sin against one another and against God. And sin always comes with incredible consequences, because sin brings struggle and death to our lives. And you know what's interesting is we are earthen vessels. And the difficult thing is that we're like that clay pot that he says he starts out with. And not only that, he says there's cracks in it. Broken chips out of our pots. And furthermore, he says, "By the sweat of your brow, You'll eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you will return. And with that, it seems so hopeless and pointless that we're born and we sin and we die. But the great thing about God is that's not the end of his story for us crackpots. You see, then came Jesus, the Savior and the of the broken and earthen vessel. John 3:16-19 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." That's the starting point. Ask him into your heart. Let him come into your cracked pot and let him take over what's there. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And you know, there's so many people that are feeling condemned and categorized and stuck in a corner that they can never get out of. But Jesus said, "That's not true. I've come to save you and bring you into the light." And it says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. The light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because of their evil deeds. And you know, here's the thing. God's word is true. We love sin, don't we? And we're all sinners, and we all need to be saved. And we've all been thrown down like an old pot, and we've got cracks and chips out of us. Do me a favor. Turn to the person next to you and say, "You're an old cracked pot." Go ahead. Rachel's enjoying that entirely too much. But I tell you what, here's the thing about cracked pots. All right? On the list of things I will run back into a burning house for is not something new and shiny. It's not. I got some old, broken, cracked pots that I will run in and bring out. Whether it be my crackpot wife or my crackpot kids, whichever ones it is, they're first on my list. But I got some stupid stuff that has more meaning and value to me because of whose it was or who gave it to me. And I'm going to get those things out. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He says, "I'm coming into a burning pit of hell, and I am going to get you out if you'll follow me out of here." Because he values you so highly. And even though the rest of the world would look at you and say, "You're just a cracked pot and worthless," he says, "Oh, no. That old, cracked, crazed, glazed masterpiece is the valuable thing." And you know, it is God who is the one who saves and sanctifies cracked pots like us. He says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." It's not about us. God is doing the rehab, the renovation, and the remodel, and the transformation in all of our lives. He's doing the liberating, and he's doing the setting free. He is the one who has done the heavy lifting. He is the one who has purchased us from the fire sale. And he is the one who has the original blueprints of our lives and what they could have been. And says, "I will do all I can to put you back together, and you're still going to have those cracks and that beauty that's left over." And we need to let him. We are to help him in the work that he's doing, until he says it's quitting time for us. And he says, "You're not a lost cause, but welcome home." Philippians 1:3-6, Paul tells the Philippians this: "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I will always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So I look out across this room and I see cracked little pots. Bun. I see an old cracked pot over here. I see some broken pots seeking to be fixed. And God is doing a great work in all of us, and He will continue until He's done and finished. He is willing and He will finish what you have started with Him. And the question is, are you willing? Are you willing to continue to walk forward no matter what it takes? Are you going to let Him glue things back together? Are you going to let Him reglaze you, maybe refire you, maybe He rework you in a way that you didn't think you were supposed to be? Because what He's trying to do is make you your best that He dreamt from the beginning of time that you would be. You see, here's the problem. Because we are cracked pots being put back together, you and I will not be perfect this side of glory. But that does not mean we are not to do everything within our power to help Him get us ready for glory. You know, I love something. You might not hear anything after I say this. But one of the great things about Harlan Bruner, he gave credit to two people for who he was. If you asked him, Harlan, how'd you get to be such a good old man? Oh, my wife raised me right. And Jesus. And Harlan has received his great reward this morning. And there are those mourning and rejoicing at the same moment. Because Jesus perfected a little old man who touched all of our lives this morning. Danetta and Jesus worked hard getting Harlan ready for glory. Jesus reached out and took him by the hand and said, come on out. See, what's interesting is in this journey of becoming like Jesus, there's always going to be the trap of sin that we have parade by us and confuses us. And we want to go left when we know we should go right. And sin will always knock at our door, and sometime we'll knock at sin's door. And we always struggle, why does God let that happen? I should be on falling for that same old trap of sin. Dr. Harper, a theologian, said, holiness makes possible a life of victory, but not a life without its battles. You see, Jesus is working from the inside out, trying to clean us up, to make us into what we're supposed to be. He's working on our minds, and He's trying to help us overcome our lusts and our desires and the darkness of our hearts. But unfortunately, those things will naturally lead us to sin's door. But the gospel and the Holy Spirit and the presence of God in our lives, us cracked pots, gives us the strength and the ability to walk on by when we choose to do so. We finally have a choice to say as to whether we will sin or not. Sin will never stop knocking, but we can stop knocking. We just need to walk on by. You see, we are broken in earthen vessels. We were meant for the trash heap, But God has chosen us from the trash pile to serve an amazing purpose, to reveal the gospel to other crackpots just like us, and to demonstrate his grace, mercy, and love as he works in our lives daily. So at the rest of our hodgepodge broken brethren can know they are able to be saved, so that the gospel will leak out of us into the darkness and shine brighter still. So as he works to reclaim us and fix us up, the world will know he is willing and able to save them as well. See, you and I are messed up, but we have a purpose, and God says it's to be used to take the gospel into a lost world. Be reminded that you are not to remain the way you were when he moved into your life, but you are to be, and you can become, just like Jesus. And it's time to get to work and be more and more like him until he finishes what you and he have started together. Deanne and I have a lot of work left to do in our marriage, but we're not done yet. We've had 26 years together. The other morning I said, "Happy anniversary," and she came over and gave me a hug, and she said, "I love you more now than ever before." And I was like, "Aw." I said, "I love you about 75% of what I should be." And some of you ladies just went, "Jerk." I'm trying to be honest these days, you know.
"Me too, honey."
No. I said, "I love you more than I did then. But I know I'm at about 75% of what I should love you like." And I said, "I'm committed to getting to 100 before we part ways. And I'm trying. But when you get two crackpots together with similar personalities, sometimes it's harder than it seems. But when you let Jesus turn up the light inside of your old crackpot, you can do it. You can do it." You know, I talked to Danetta the other day, and she said, "How long have they been married?" It's like, I think they got married back in Roosevelt's administration or something, didn't they? I mean, they've been married for forever. Yeah. Forever. Okay, they've been long. Their marriage has got an ARP card. Okay, we don't need to argue about that, right? The other day I was talking to her and I said, "Yeah, today Deanne and I celebrated our 26." She says, "Oh, you are cute kids. Good job." She says, "Enjoy it. Because I really thought I was going to get more years than this with Harlan." Like, you're like 102. How many more years you want? I mean, like, serious. What if we all love Jesus and our spouses that way? Doing our best to get to that 100%. All right, last thing, old crackpots. There was an old woman, I've used this illustration before, who had planted flowers down both sides of the path leading from her house to where the well where she drew water each day for her family. With a stick across her shoulders and a pot on each end to carry water, she walked back and forth every morning. As spring turned into summer, she noticed that the flowers on one side of the path began to wither and die, but the other was still doing well. And as she thought, she realized the pot on the left side was cracked, had a chunk missing, and leaked water every step of the path. It was always on her left, so the return trip made all the difference as she watered the left side of the path on the way home. Because as she took step by step, water would slosh out the old cracked pot and seep out, watering each thirsty plant along its path. Just because you're a cracked pot doesn't mean you cannot serve a purpose. With one, she brought water to her family. With the other, she watered her flowers and brought beauty to the world. And when she realized she could move the broken pot to the other side, she began to water both sides of the path and brought life back to the flowers that were perishing. So, my fellow cracked pots and earthen vessels, let Jesus shine through you, through all of your wonderful flaws, so the world might see what he can do and be saved. Let them see the progress being made in your life each day as you let the grace, mercy, and love of God leak out into the lives of those around you. And change it up once in a while, because, you know, it's okay to switch the pots from side to side. Someone over here might need a little drink as well. And by doing so, you can bring life and hope and future to everyone along your path. You're not perfect. You're just a good old cracked pot. And God wants to do some amazing things in and through your life. He loves you. He's using you. He used an old broken cracked pot to reach out to a guy in a room in a nursing home and share Jesus. And he wants to do that with you right now. So let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that you are the one who maintains and sustains and renovates cracked pots. You are the great restorer and transformer of our lives. So Lord, shine brightly as you enter into our hearts, but don't just get stuck there. Shine brightly through every part of us so that the whole world might see that you are at work in us, doing the greatest work of all, saving a wretch like us. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. A bunch of old crackpots. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love. Love, how can it be? amazing love. I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You
Jesus, you are not just Lord of our heart, you are Lord of our lives. And we invite you to renovate us from the inside out as you see fit, and we will help you in any way we can. And Lord, as we get one day closer to the end of our lives, may we look a bit more like you, Jesus. And may we find ourselves one day standing in your presence, totally amazed at all we see. And may we fall at your feet and worship you. Lord, we thank you for Harlan Bruner and his family and all that they mean to this church. And we thank you for your servant, Harlan, who did the best he could with what he had. And we thank you that his faith was not in vain, but it was rewarded in full this day as he left the constraints of this world and old body behind and stepped into your glorious presence. And Lord, for the work that Danetta couldn't get accomplished in this life, we thank you that you brought it into completion for him this day. And we ask that you be with their family, be with the friends, be with this church, as we say goodbye to a good man that you have perfected as you said you would. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Have a great week, folks. We will see you. Offering plates are on your way out. You can pick a door and head out. And if you would like to socialize and hang out, you can go in the parking lot and do what you want. See ya.